pluribus unum. University. Universe. You've all heard those phrases, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Supposed to be the United States. University. Una, one worldview with the diversity, bringing unity to how we think. You tell me if the universities are doing and teaching that now. The universe, one God, one creative, one creator. Look at the diversity of our universe and how we can miss the unifying part and get all wrapped up with all the diversity. God creates beautifully with diversity. But there's one purpose, one God, one Lord. And that's part of what the problem is here with Corinth, as they're struggling with things that their biblical worldview is a little skewed, to say the least. Paul's having to address their wisdom sources. They're looking to the world, to culture, versus what God's Word says. And they have a lot of problems as a result in churches today. We wonder why pastors get in trouble, why churches fail. Sin. But if we don't do it God's way, this kind of stuff can happen. And so their immaturity in Corinth, their perceived spirituality, they thought they were very spiritual people, and Paul says, no, you're not. And that spirituality, that over-realized eschatology, that's a technical term, but they thought they had arrived, and it was causing division and factions and a lack of unity. And that's not what a church family, a unified one Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, should be. And so as we've been going through, starting in chapter 11, a new section, and then chapter 12, the public worship, when the church gathers together, there's a lot of division. A lot of people that are really worried about their radical individualism. I want to be me, and I want to parade myself at the expense of the unity of the body. And so the conduct in worship services was becoming a little unorderly. Communion, it was not one Lord's table. There were different folks basically having their own little separate meals. And then now the spiritual gifts in chapter 12. This is a topic that today in the church, different denominations, can become very divisive. And in local churches, I know in my denomination, which is and I will get into a little bit more some of the different labels if you want, but the Evangelical Free Church has different views and understandings, but it can become very disunifying if people don't agree or bear with others of different understands. And then, of course, chapter 13, the centrality of love ought to be, all of our unity ought, because we love one another. We love God, we love one another. So that love chapter in chapter 13 will be a good way to start off the new year. Last time, if you were here then, the grace gifts, once again, that's just English for the Greek word charismata. Charismata, the grace gifts. And we looked at how, first of all, we better understand who the Holy Spirit, because they're also called spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, his person and work. Who is he? What is his purpose? What does he do in the church? And that ought to undergird and shape. If we don't understand the Holy Spirit, we're not going to understand the outworking and equipping of the Holy Spirit and how we use grace gifts. And then verse 3, which I'll reread that in a second, only spiritual people, and Paul has to remind, and it's not you folks thinking you're flashy, Corinthians, spiritual people are people who have the Holy Spirit, who have been, big word alert, regenerated. You are not born again. You are not a Christian apart from the indwelling regeneration, being born again, born from above, literally, of the Holy Spirit. That ought to bring unity because it's all God's grace. It's not what you do. It's not how it manifests itself. It starts with God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what Corinth was getting wrong. That's what, unfortunately, churches and congregations can get wrong today. And only by the Holy Spirit in our lives, can we confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I'll read those verses in a second. So, now, the unity of the source, then, and purpose of the gifts, one God, what's the purpose for those grace gifts, should prevent division and arrogance in the body. If God gives it to us, how dare we act like somehow we did it ourselves, we're better. That's how divisive, and especially with a topic like this, unfortunately can be. But Lord's Supper, the different roles in the church, all those things can become the focus of division versus unity. So take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The grace gifts diversity. Last week, just the first three verses, I'll reread those for the introduction. Now concerning, that announces a new topic, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So there's salvation. If you are a Christian, Jesus is your Lord. God the Holy Spirit was instrumental in that. Now we pick up we're going to be looking at verses 4 to 11, and I want you to just notice as we get going that the triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, source, and purpose, even though there's a diversity of gifts, there's one God, a unity of purpose in the Godhead that is giving us that, bringing that beauty of the diversity. So distinctions, yes. Superiorities, no. And phones can cause division. That happens. What would we do to them in the Air Force, Colonel Adams, if their phone went off in the... Yeah, I don't remember. That was a big deal. You shut your phone off, because if it went off in the colonel's briefing, if they were nice, they'd not abuse you too much. But so first of all, the unity of source, verses 4 to 7. Now, there are diversities or allotments of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activity, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So that word diversities, allotments, different translation, varieties, but diversities of grace gifts, the charismatic gifts, but the same Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Diversities of ministries, that's where we get our word deacon. So the service, diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And some people think of, that'd be Lord, that's Jesus. And look what he did to serve, died on the cross. So Holy Spirit, God the Son, and then diversities of activities or working or effects, the energizing the same God. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, same word, Paul, just the creativity and beauty of the language. Unified, triune God. What is the purpose? Verse 7, and this you might say is the thesis of this whole section, the manifestation of the Spirit. What does that mean? How is it the Spirit shows himself, or this is how he demonstrates what he is doing? More on that in a little bit. But it's an umbrella term that is given, passive. We didn't take it. God gave it, is given to each, not the spiritual elite, each one for the common good, the profit of all, for the body. It's about worshiping together, but it's all the same God. So all those words, little phrases, are important. So unity of source, but there's a diversity of gifts, verses 8 through 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And so those diversity of gifts and the way the original languages, there sort of breaks down into different sections, but there are speech gifts, things that are spoken, and these are mentioned because these seem to be what were important in Corinth, and this is why Paul's having to chastise them, the speech gifts. They're not mentioned in other lists of the spiritual gifts, and I'll give you some of those lists later, but those aren't mentioned, but obviously important to the Corinthians. A word, the utterance, the message, a word of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, an insight about and message about God's working through Christ in the world. A few chapters earlier, remember they were all, Paul had to remind them. Now, that type of wisdom, a biblical worldview, a biblical word, message of knowledge and wisdom, idols have no existence. So we know better. So spiritual truth, that wisdom and knowledge is something that is a spiritual gift in a special way to be used to help the church know that idols don't really exist. Now, spiritual warfare exists, demons exist, but Paul had to remind them of that type of spiritual knowledge and wisdom. Then there are other gifts. Faith, a certain assurance and trust in God and his actions. And so you can see that if you're a Christian, you have faith for salvation. You have to, or you're not a Christian. But an extra big portion, you might say, if some folks just have that ability to just trust God and what he's doing in the midst of events. Healings, supernatural in particular, versus just medical arts. God ultimately heals everyone, but there are some that are more miraculous. And I would, what happened with Howard, the medical arts, well, the healing, but they have no idea how that happened type of thing. I know. And so there's the healings. Can God heal? Absolutely. So the idea of healings, miracles, which are not necessarily always healings, but mighty deeds in the history of the church. Think of exorcisms, spiritual warfare, a mighty deed of being able to exorcise demons, prophecy, a declaration of God's will that addresses a situation, bringing encouragement and edification. So speaking an authoritative word, we'll get a little more into the details of that, not replacing Scripture. See, that's one of the abuses, where if that takes the place of Scripture, you don't understand what prophecy is. And that's chapter 14. We'll get into that a little more. But then also discerning spirits, the idea of weighing prophetic truth and teaching, understanding the spirit of the age, understanding truth. Corinth needed that. They were being led astray by the spirit of the age culture in the church. We need that understanding the truth. Now, this goes above and beyond, obviously, God's word, the idea of understanding truth, thinking biblically, but some folks have that spiritual gift to be able to say, no, that is demonic, things like that. Then the last categorized, the tongue gifts. Once again, mentioned last, maybe for a purpose, because this is what would have been important to Corinth. They were all excited about their understanding of what tongues are, and we're going to see that in the next chapters. Once again, tongues are not mentioned in any other lists of the Holy Spirit. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. The idea of the tongue just means the literal tongue, but also other coherent languages. Not necessarily, because we're going to talk about tongues of angels, foreign language. It's not gibberish. I guess that's the big thing, that it is some incoherent babbling. Folks, there's a purpose for tongues, And that is, you can already figure out that those, that is one of those focal points. We don't argue about some of the less exciting, but that's what can divide folks. So all of these gifts, just for what it's worth, if you want to write other lists where they mention catalogs, if you want, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, the end of this chapter, 1 Peter 4, 11, and 1 Corinthians 7, 7, where, that we saw earlier. So diversity of gifts, understanding what they are biblically, but now we're back to the unity of the source. So in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So God, the Holy Spirit, unity of source, apportions, allots to each person as he wills. That's important. So, and then some of the working, the distributing, each one, Paul's tying in some of the language he used, just how to craft an argument. This is God's word. I get excited about that. And so to summarize, David Garland wrote a big, thick commentary, but I like the summary quote. The Spirit gives a variety of gifts to people. These gifts are not given as a sign that the recipients are especially spiritual or have received a supersized portion of the Spirit. The Spirit distributes the gifts according to His sovereign purposes for the common benefit of all and for the unity of the community, and certainly not to foment divisions in the church or create a first team of select Christians and a second team of also-rans. And so this is in Corinth, that's what they were excited about. And unfortunately today, many ways we can abuse this, that can become the focus versus ultimately what God intends for them. Okay? So, a few takeaways. God's multifaceted grace gifts display his presence and purpose in worship. Okay, multifaceted, the beauty of the creation, the various gifts display his presence, and that manifestation of the Spirit, the language, is the Holy Spirit manifesting himself? It's this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or is it what the Holy Spirit gives and those gifts are the manifestation? Well, in the original language, the answer is yes. This is God's presence and the gifting that he has given to the church body, the what, for his purpose. Now, the what, it's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit equipping. Back in 2018, I told you we did a whole series on the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to get into that too much in depth. But the spiritual gifts, what are they? Well, Dr. Wayne Grudem, one of my professors that knows the Bollingers and has stayed over here in one of their house, but gives a good definition and purpose. A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Like verse 7 says, given to each one for the profit of all. That's going to bring unity. Once again, the gifts, they're good, and they're to be used to unify, not divide. And so one thing to notice is the relationship of gifts of the Holy Spirit to natural abilities. We all have different natural abilities, from parents, talents, personalities. That's all God made us. I'm glad God didn't make us all the same. So they're not the same because the spiritual gifts are given for spiritual ministry in the church, but they're not unrelated because God can sanctify, can take natural gifts and natural abilities and use them for his glory in the church. So there's a fine line between those. I don't know if any of you have ever gone through spiritual gift assessments. I mean, I had to do this ad nauseum in graduate school and churches, and they'd give out and you take this test and that's going to pigeonhole you as into what spiritual gift you have. And, okay, maybe helpful if we're thinking about how we can better use our gifts for God's glory in the local body. Versus, I didn't get any of the good ones. So then some of the lists. Well, I mentioned a couple of the verses, but 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, if you want to have a category, if you want to sort of taking what the Bible says and make a chart, which can be overdrawn too sometimes, but speaking gifts and serving gifts. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, that's that word charismata, grace gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So speaking and service. Well, there are also some gifts that are offices as well. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. And he himself, God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, which grammatically those are connected in some way, pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints in the church, to equip, you guys are the saints, for the equipping of the saints, we are all the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So to build up each other, God has gifted people in the church family. Here's one that, well, and then definitions are important because apostles, prophets, that sounds good. I want to be one of them. Well, how do we define those biblically? Sometimes there's a narrow view, very technical view. The apostles, that word just means one sent. So we have the 12 apostles, the apostle Paul, but also in the sense of one sent with a divine commission, the Merwins are apostles. We'll call them small a, one sent missionaries. So we need to make sure we're very clear about what is being talked about, because the apostles, like Paul, wrote scripture. Folks, I'm here to tell you absolutely that no one is still writing scripture today. So whatever your understanding of apostle is, if you think you're writing scripture, don't stand near me in a lightning storm. Prophets, the Old Testament prophets, thus saith the Lord, wrote scripture. So in the narrow sense of prophet, versus, that word means to speak forth. Forth telling God's word, proclaiming God's word. Preaching would be a form of small p prophecy, versus merely, we sometimes think of foretelling the future. Could you tell me, Pastor Dieter, when Jesus is coming back? You know, be a prophet and I'll tell. No, that's heretical. And so, proper definitions. Here's one, marriage relationships. That was in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, Paul says. But each one has his own spiritual gift, grace gift, from God. One in this manner and another in that. If you remember back, however many weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 7, that marriage and celibacy is a spiritual gift. And you could see how not recognizing that, I think of the what's called one of the seven sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church, the sacrament of holy orders, where there are a lot of priests that may not have the spiritual gift of celibacy. And so you think about some of the abuse that goes on, you know, and of course the Roman Catholic Church gets a lot of visual, but the moral failures of pastors in Bible-believing churches, you know, that's, folks, that's, it's sin. But marriage relationships, might not have thought of that, but that's the same word, a grace gift. And then Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, just some of the ministries, other list. Having then spiritual gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so those all those are the same word is used, and all those can be used to glorify God, unify the church, edify the body, but there's diversity. And sometimes we in the church, we come up with divisions, and Dr. Grudem, sort of the same, sort of the normal ministry type gifts that are normative through the church throughout history and are necessary for the functioning of the church. Helps, hospitality, giving. Well, I don't want that gift. Or what we're more interested in, and unfortunately what causes the division, not the ministry gifts, but the miraculous gifts. But they're all grace gifts. They are all given. And there's different views, and I won't get into this, but throughout church history, different denominations have different understandings about whether they're normative and ought to be functioning all the time in every church. And there's for example, in some Pentecostal circles, that there's a second baptism with and in the Holy Spirit. And so if you haven't gotten the second baptism, and those of you in Pentecostal, maybe you've had that question asked. Have you received that second baptism, which I would say can cause division? Oh, I'm just a normal once baptized guy. I'm not the elite. That can cause division, and I would argue is not rightly handling the text. But then there are other groups, the Evangelical Free Church, and this would be sort of, I'm going to put a label on my position. It's called open but cautious. Or I had a professor, old Paul Feinberg, talk like this. The open but cautious view, or could be, but probably not. In other words, the miraculous gifts are not normative for today in all the areas that people claim to use them, but God does and grants these gifts. So it's, yes, the cessationist view is, nope, God doesn't want any of those spiritual gifts. There is no spiritual gift of dancing. Don't even think about it. None of the gifts are normative. They ceased at the end of the apostolic age, but God can still heal. That's another extreme that unfortunately in some very conservative churches that, you know, it's God's word, it's God's word, it's God's word. Well, I'm with them on that, but Paul seems to be saying, so I'm open. But let's make sure we subsume them under God's word and God's purpose and bringing unity. So a lot there. I don't know how much of this you were into, and if you come from certain denominations, you probably got a lot of that. And that would be one of my criticisms of the, we all ought to be seeking the miraculous flashy gifts, but who's being glorified? And obviously God can be glorified in that, but we're causing separation and division in Corinth in particular. Like I said, some of those gifts were mentioned, you know, the speaking in tongues mentioned last. So big issue. And causes division in the church today. And so, you know, Presbyterians, we don't like those Baptists, and E-Free, we don't like anybody. But actually E-Free, because generally the E-Free we are non-charismatic, but we're not anti-charismatic. That's not the focus, which I would agree with that. No, the focus is God's word, Christ, God's glory. So we're not going to let that distract. But because you haven't come out with a hard position, which is always dangerous, because we can control people with a hard position, well, then you're limiting what the Holy Spirit could be doing. But if people aren't keeping the main thing and the unity right, in some E-Free churches, there have been splits because some want to be more charismatic than others who don't want to dance at all. So, more than you wanted, the who, not the group. Verse 7 and 11, repeated a couple times, the thesis, each one is given, everybody. So Corinthians, you don't get to say, well, I've got an extra special helping of double blessing and I'm more spiritual than you. You rubes. No, they're saying absolutely not. Each one, all And that goes for us. You know, this is now carries on. You know, do you know your spiritual gift? Well, I've got a handy test for you now. But that's each one of us has a gift to be used for the betterment and the unity and service of the church family. All have value and are needed. Because we live in a culture like Corinth. Ooh, status. I want to be the guy up front yelling all the time. Versus the sweet little, you know, men, I'll embarrass you, the ladies that are praying. The dinners, the, you know, the helps, the hospitality, the generosity, the giving. Folks, that brings glory to God for His glory so that the message can go out. You know, missionaries that we support around the world versus, you know, well, I don't have the good gifts. Wait on the next couple chapters where Paul, because you're not an eye, you can't say to the foot, the body needs each other. So more on that in the sermons whenever I told you they were coming up. So why? Common good, profit of all, mutual benefit. Not about you, not about me. It's about God. It's about the body, the family. Unity, building up, edifying, joy, corporate worship by the family. Because some of the dangers, and this can be the abuses on both sides of the, you know, those gifts, nope, we don't, God, Holy Spirit, you are not welcome here. We don't want you doing anything that might cause us to get out of our comfort zone. I mean, my hands might go above my waist. What? Or, we're all swinging from the chandeliers all the time. Those are caricatures. But that's where the division can come. One of the things we smart Americans do, we can also the dangers of what's called a dualistic distinction. There's God's natural world, medicine, how Howard was healed, that's all natural. We need to keep that separate from the supernatural, what God does. God works in and through all. And so making these false separations, folks, salvation is a great miracle, a great spiritual gift. That's supernatural, but we do it by the proclaiming naturally of the Word of God. Also, misunderstanding what the gifts are biblically defined. Touched on that a little bit, versus experiential arguments. See, once again, well, I felt it. And I did it. Well, maybe not. Not if it violates God's word or contradicts God's word. Because you know who else can imitate miracles? Satan. Signs, wonders. Okay? So experiential arguments must be tempered by what the Bible says. We live in an age where you can't doubt me. I experienced it. Well, I'm sorry, I reserve the right to say no. You may have experienced that, but that is anti-biblical, and God didn't tell you to do that because it contradicts His word. And along with that then is not glorifying Christ, because those gifts, given as He wills to serve the whole church, what is needed in each generation and each congregation, our little church family, God has equipped us to do what He wants us to do as a church family to bring Him glory. You know, that's some quote where there are no one person Christians that have all the gifts, and there are no bodies that don't have the gifts that are necessary. Example of that, remember in Acts chapter 8, Simon the magician, remember him? Where the apostles came and spreading of the gospel to different people groups, Pentecost, the Samaritans of all people, the Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit came upon, unique events in history, and Simon the magician saw what the apostles did. He said, I like that ministry. And he tried to give them money to the apostles. Hey, I'll give you some money. You make that my ministry here. You guys go back to Jerusalem, and that'll be my miracle Holy Ghost ministry. That right there is a picture of, unfortunately, one of the abuses. And Peter says, I'll give you money so that I can make people receive the Holy Spirit. I'll pray the prayer and they'll receive the Holy Spirit. Peter says, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. So, confusion, division, not glorifying Christ, but I want that to be my flashy ministry. And I have pastor friends who went to some schools that are way off on the fringes where they took classes to learn how to pretend like they knew and did some of these more flashy things. The confusion, division, we've talked about that, that the spiritual gift should not bring division. But then also, it can become an excuse not to serve. Oh, I don't have that gift, Pastor. I don't have that gift, which can become an excuse not to help the family. So, for example, evangelism. You may not have the spiritual gift of evangelism, but everyone in this room should be witnessing. Okay? You may not have the spiritual gift of exhortation. You know, I'm not going to get into technical details, but every one of us in this room ought to be encouraging one another. You may not have the spiritual gift of giving, but we all ought to be supporting the Lord's ministries, missionaries, local church, things like that. You may not have the spiritual gift of ministry, whatever that is, but we all ought to be serving. And once again, I will, as pastor in my role, this church, we do a lot of these things quite well, but we can always grow and do better. You may not have the spiritual gift of mercy. I know I don't. But we all ought to be showing kindness to one another. We all may not have the spiritual gift of faith. But obviously, trusting in Christ alone, you're not a Christian. Walking by faith, trusting God. And so, there's not this hard, fast distinction, but it's all good for each of us individually, but also corporately that we live together. So, all right, more than probably you wanted. Last point really here. So these various beautiful, multifaceted, like a diamond, multifaceted grace gifts, charismatic gifts, display his wondrous creative glory. Imagine if everybody was like Tony. Oh, that'd be pretty awesome, Tony. But we're different, and we get along. And the joy, one of my professors, Dr. Carson. Now, when he wrote this, tell me how you think this would go over today. We're all God's snowflakes. But the way he meant it, the beauty, each snowflake is unique. Versus what do? We want ice cubes. We make ice cubes. God made snowflakes. The beauty, the army. But we're an army. We're to be an army of God, but not monotonous khaki uniforms. We're all in lockstep. And we're all, and there are some churches that, you know, they're more concerned about their code of conduct than they are about the Bible. And so it's just this monotonous uniformity versus what he describes as each of us, the instruments that we have, but each of us, this is a symphony. And each of us, the harmony that comes about with the beauty of each one of us in this room playing their part, the beautiful music, not dance music, beautiful music of serving God. That's the picture. Those of you with a more Reformed Presbyterian background, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number one, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. God has created his people, his church, for his glory. How dare we allow something like God's grace gifts to get in the way of that? Grace gifts are given by God for body service, not self. But obviously the benefits, self-benefits of some of the gifts, I mean, that's God, you know, that is as individuals, but not to puff me up as an individual to be part of the body. For God's glory, not self-status. God sovereignly gives grace gifts for his glorious, unifying purpose in the church. The glory alone to him. Thank you for hanging in there. We're done before 11:30. So the spiritual gift of eating, we can do that here in a minute. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the diversity. I thank you for this church family and just who we are, the individuals, the stories, and how you have gifted each of us to serve one another. What a privilege to be part of this church family, Lord, that the community fellowship of Christians. May we always be a radiant beacon for your glory as we serve you first and one another, and then those around us in the Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Thank you for gifting us to serve you for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.